Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And we'll bring it up on the overhead. Trust in the Lord. Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. We're going to look at these two verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this fellowship. I thank you for the way that you're working here. And I pray, Lord, you would work in a powerful, beautiful, life-changing way today, Lord. Would you do what only you can do as you interact with us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to study what is, I believe, is one of the greatest verses in the Bible, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. As long as there's been a people of God, they've known this verse. As long as there's been a church, they've clung to this verse. And I want to challenge you. I have a special challenge this morning. I have a challenge for you to memorize Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So the question is, are you going to take the challenge? Going to church, I'm here. Am I going to be challenged? Am I willing? Am I willing to be challenged? Do you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? And here's a special challenge I want to challenge. I want to especially challenge those of you that are here that have never memorized a Bible verse yet in your life. So what do you think? Like, no, just go to church. It's real exciting when I'm there, but I'm not going to do it. I'm challenging you. If you've never memorized a Bible verse, that you would get a flashcard out, you'd write it down on one side, you'd put it in your car, you'd just start looking at it, turning it over, looking at it, turning over, going for walks, looking at it, until you have it memorized. Okay, that's the challenge. If you don't have it memorized, but especially if you come to this church, God's working in your life, you've not yet memorized your first verse. Are you going to take the challenge? It's like, I'm just going to, are you going to take the challenge? Especially I'm talking to you who have never memorized a verse. Like, no, that's just not me. I challenge you. It'll change your life. It will change your life that's in you, and you can think about it anytime. You can lay on your bed, trust in the Lord. How much, with all my heart, lean not on my own understanding, and all my, Lord, all my ways, I acknowledge you. Make my path straight, Lord. I don't know what to do. And you can just, anytime in your life, praying it over someone, giving it to someone, letting God meet you with it. But as we look at this verse, we read that first word, trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that's a word that I think becomes really common to us. It's so common, it almost loses its meaning when we talk about trusting God, because it's almost like Christianese in a sense. It's almost like just things we say. And a lot of times we say we are trusting the Lord, but we're not really daily trusting the Lord. And I think just breaking a word down like that, that Hebrew word means to be confident in. So what are you going through? Are you trusting in the Lord? What are you facing? Health problems, finances, a child, a loss? Because you're to trust in the Lord. What does that mean? It means I'm confident. God, my confidence is in you. You're going to help me through this. You're going to take me through it. It means to rely on him, to lean on him, right? Like, I can't make it without you. I'm leaning on you. I'm not going to make it this week without you, Lord. I can't go on in this marriage without you. I can't face this person anymore, but I'm confident in you that you're going to help me, right? It's a rich word that is confident, rely, lean, hope. And notice it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you know, if you memorize this verse, you'll be able to, what the Bible says, meditate on God's word. You can just break it apart in your mind and chew on it and regurgitate it and chew on it and just suck all the life out of it once it's in your heart. How much am I going to trust in the Lord? With all your heart. And this is just one of the verses in the Bible where we learn, right? We learn this, that God wants all of our heart. So that's just a question, huh? You're here this morning. I would just ask you, could you do a little inventory? Does God have all of your heart? Like, I know you're here. I know you're singing this morning. I know you're Christian. Does God have all of your heart? Because if not, there's no doubt the Holy Spirit is wanting to work this morning, that you would make a decision, God, I'm gonna surrender all of my heart to you. In Deuteronomy 6:5, we read, "You shall love the Lord your God." There it is again. We're going to see a bunch of them. How much are we supposed to love God? All of our heart, all your soul, all your strength. And Jesus in the New Testament calls this, right? We know. It's the greatest. Like, there's a lot of commandments all through the Bible, but there's one that's greater than all the rest of them. So you don't want to miss that one, right? If it's the greatest, you want to make sure it's the greatest in your life, right? God wants me to love him. Make no mistake about it. God wants you to love him in such a way that he's the greatest love. That, again, we just got, how many words could we throw at it to try to understand it? God wants to be the greatest. He wants to be the chief love, the supreme love, the first love. We know that. Jesus said, "You've left your first love." Maybe you've left your first love. He's to be our unequaled love, unparalleled love, unrivaled. Right? You getting the picture? Unrivaled love of your life. So sometimes when you're trying to understand a word or a concept, you know, we're talking about loving God with all your heart. Sometimes to understand the opposite, the antonym of the language, that helps me anyways in a deeper way, because if I know what the opposite is, it really helps me hone on what it's talking about. And the antonym of all of your heart would be a divided heart. Right? Like, I'm at church, you love God, of course I love God, but your heart's divided because I really love the river, I really love my boat, what I live for is hunting, or, you know, what I love, and your heart's divided, right? God doesn't have all your heart. There's a place to have other things that you enjoy, but we can never let anything or anybody else become a rival throne, right? Or God will have to start dealing with us. He'll start a process of chastising us to cause us to let go of that only he deserves that first, chief, supreme place in your life. So Deuteronomy 10, you read all these different all of your heart passages that we're just going to pick up on as we're looking at this text. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you?" That's a great question. God, what do you require of me? "But to fear the Lord," Moses answered, "your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him." We've talked about that. "To serve the Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul," right? God wants you to serve him all out, right? What did Moses say? What did God say through Moses to Pharaoh? Over and over again, God said, "Let my people go that they might," right? Some Bibles translate it "serves." Some Bibles translate it "worship." It's that idea that it's worship that involves serving God. "Let my people go that they might serve me." They're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, not just to be redeemed and wait to get to heaven. Like, man, I wish Jesus would come back so we could get on with it. You know what? The Lord wants you to be serving him, right? Where are you serving? So let me say this. There's a place to come to a church, and maybe you're newer to this church, and there's a place to just say, you know what? I just need to get whole, right? Like, man, we've been through it. We've been through some hard things, and coming here, like, I'm just getting back on my feet. There's a place for that. Just come. Get healed. Get whole. Just learn the word, get healthy. But at some point you have to start serving or you won't be healthy. That's just a question I'd like you to answer. Where are you serving? Because you know what a really weak church is? A really weak church is when just a few people are serving and they're exhausted and everybody else is just coming and watching and eating the donuts and, you know, just having a great old time. But that's a really weak church. A strong church is when everybody, the pastor equips them with the word of God, and then they start doing the work of the ministry. And I just want to challenge you. You have to find, this church can never be what God wants it to be till you're all serving. And man, what a church we will become when everybody, and that's what's so great too, we're all so different. Man, there's probably some of the greatest gifts in this body not even yet being used, right? Or maybe you're someone that you once served and you're like, yeah, I did that, and boy, did I just get exhausted. That was then. It can't be that is then. Until the Lord comes, well done, good and faithful servant. When he comes, you're serving. So I just, where are you serving? Can you answer that? I want you to talk about it. I'm in the car today. I want you, the kids, to go, Dad, where are you serving? Mom, where are you serving? I want you to talk about a husband and wife. Where are we serving? Are we ever going to serve here? Okay, where are you serving? No response. Everyone's just like, are you serving anywhere? Gosh, Chris, he's kind of intense. Is he going to be this intense all morning? I'm just challenging you. Man, what God would do in this church if you would start serving. Here we go, maybe with the microphone. I'm just going to challenge you, and here's the challenge. If you've never served in the church deport, did I just press that off? Is that right? If you've never served before, if that's you, you know what? We come here, we love this, love the worship, love Chris, love the children's ministry, love these people. We don't come very often, but we start serving. I challenge you. If you haven't started serving yet, start. You'll be so blessed. You know what? The greatest is not receiving. Jesus said the greatest blessing is to give. It's more blessed to give than receive. Those are the words of Jesus. Okay, well, we look at another verse. Joel 2:12. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me. These are just, we're talking about trusting the Lord with all your heart. These are all the heart verses. They really speak to me. Therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart. And this is talking about being saved. You can be religious without turning to God with all your heart, but you can't truly be saved as a young person here until it's with all your heart that you turn to God. And God says in the Old Testament, why will you die in your sins? Don't die in your sins. Turn to me and live, right? Ezekiel 18, you got to turn though with all your heart. And we'll at the end of the service, we'll talk about, you know, when you do turn to God with all your heart, this amazing thing happens. He takes out the old, stubborn, stony heart, and he puts in a new, tender, responsive heart, right? Isn't that incredible what God does in us? Sounds like there's like a video game going on. Church bells. I thought for sure some kid in the back row was like, got him, I got him. Okay, so has that happened? I just going to, before we ever bring that verse up, has that happened to you? Have you had the old stony heart taken out and a new, you're tender to God? You're responsive? Or is it still just, nope, hard, stony, like I'll do it, I don't really want to. It's when you turn to God with all your heart, he changes your heart. We'll look at that. And look at another all your heart, Deuteronomy 4:29. From there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him. Right? How? When is God found? If you seek him with all your heart. And notice the word there when it says, but from there. So if you went back and read that, what you'd be reading about, you know what the there is? When you make a total mess of your life. When you've screwed things up and you've acted corruptly, the text says, when you've done evil, when you've done wrong, you've gone where you shouldn't have gone. You ever hear that quote, that sin will cost you more than you ever thought you'd pay? It'll keep you longer than you ever thought you'd stay, right? Sin. But when you come to your senses and you seek God with all your heart, God says, I'll be found by you. But it's got to be at a place where, okay, God, all my heart. And God says, you'll find me. How about another all your heart verse, Psalm 9:1, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart, right? David, we love David. It's amazing how much of our worship services come, not from the New Testament, but come from David. Come from the Psalms, right? David, bless the Lord. You finish it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, right? That's praise. It's not this just a little casual, like, I wonder what time the golf game starts today. Bless you, Lord. You know, it's not just a half-hearted, like, is that 9 lights on or 6 lights on? You know, it's all your heart. Right? It's like your whole being. And isn't God worthy of like us being focused? Isn't he worthy of that? Like, is he not worthy that that's a time when instruments are up here like any other time in your whole life that corporately you are worshiping God? And God says, with all your heart, you're to praise me. You know, there's a Catholic man that was in our church. And for years, I would interact with him, and he finally got saved, and he told me the story as he started coming around the church. He said, you know, my father-in-law always used to tell me, Manny, can't you just give God 1 hour a week? Mass, just 1 hour. Manny, just 1 hour. What's wrong with you? Can't you just give God 1 hour? And he said he never could give God 1 hour, and he says he always knew God didn't want 1 hour. God wanted his whole heart, and man, he finally did get saved. And you know, there's a scripture that's one of my favorites. Maybe it's another all of your heart favorite. It's 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Do you know this verse? Oh, I love this. Throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are fully committed to him, right? Wow, God's looking in the Pacific Northwest today, trying to find a young man, an old man, a young woman, an older woman. He's trying to find someone whose heart is totally loyal to him or totally committed to him so he can show himself strong. And so we're looking, our text, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Rely, be confident, we said, lean on, hope in. So let me just come back to our text, and let me ask you the question, what are you going through this morning? Came to church. Chris has a guest speaker here. His text is trust, rely, be confident, hope in the Lord. What are you going through this morning? It's funny that you should ask. You know, the word to you this morning is trust. Don't go it alone. Don't look to your girlfriends. Don't the church leadership, I mean, they're here for you, but they're here to point you to the Lord. Only you can trust in him. That's the word for you this morning. And you know, again, that helps me so much. I'm just wired this way. You know what the antonym of trust is? What do you think it is? Doubt. It's actually worry. Or doubt, like, you know, same similar type. Or it could be to stress out in our modern vernacular, right? I'm stressed out. Why? Because you're not trusting. You're not leaning on him. You're not relying upon him. You're not putting all your weight on him. It's all on you. That's the word. Let me ask you a question. Have you trusted the Lord to save you? I don't want you to answer that out loud, but I do want you to answer that in your heart. Could you answer that in your heart? Have you trusted the Lord to save you? So it's an if then, right? If you have trusted the Lord to save you, then you can trust him with what you're facing this morning. Right? It's really an argument from the greater to the lesser, right? It's logical. If you could trust God to save you for all eternity, can't you trust him for what you're going through right now? Like, I can trust God to save me of all my sins for all eternity and have a plan for me, but I can't trust him to be able to help me in this? Because I am just stressed out, worrying. I can't sleep. There's no answers. I don't know what to do. I'm at the end of myself. Maybe tragically, you've even contemplated suicide. And the Lord wants you to lean on him. Trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And we'll bring up our text. Lean not on your own understanding. And, oh, that is so easy to quote. I'm like a professional at trusting God for other people. I'm a pastor. Like, when I deal with your problems, I'm like, God, God's going to come through for you. He's God. Don't lean on that, your own understanding. He's going to take care of it. It might be a week, a month, a year, a couple of years. You're going to grow. This is going to be awesome. Isn't that funny how we're like professionals for trusting the Lord for other people? So hard for us to live that. So easy to quote it. So hard to live it. And the problem is, at the very heart of it, I believe the problem is we think we know what's best. It's the way I see it. We think we know what's best for us. And at the very center of what we think is best for us, we think that ease is best for us. And that's why anytime anything hard ever comes along, we're like, Lord, take it away. In Jesus' name, take it away. In Jesus' name, take it away. You know, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, take it away. Because I want ease. And whenever someone we love is going through hard things, it's like the first thing we do. Let's all surround them. Let's have Jesus take it away. They're going through something hard. We think ease is best for us, but see if you don't bear witness to it, that ease is not what's best for your soul. Oh, hard to accept. You know what ease produces? Complacency. What was it? Someone else said what? Laziness. Shallowness. We think we want an easy life. We're praying everything would be easy. Anytime things are hard, we're praying, Lord, make it easy. It leaves us shallow, but suffering is fertile soil for the soul. Say, wow, that's good, Rob. Where did you clip and paste that from, huh? Tell me. No clip and paste. That's my life. That's birthed out of the last 15 years of my life I'll share with you. But, you know, God knows what's best for us, doesn't he? I see a generation that's old enough to be able to say, Father knows best. He truly does. God knows what's best for us. We don't. When I got saved, 1984, 18 years old, in my shallow own understanding, somewhere along the line there, I made a deal with God. I didn't even ever realize I made the deal with God, but I made a deal with God. And the deal was, okay, Lord, I'm saved. I want to be rich. I want to be an electrician, own my own business, live in Huntington Beach Harbor. Be married to a beautiful wife. I didn't get any of those things, but I did get the beautiful wife. And I laid all that down. Laid it all down. God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you with all my heart. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. That was our prayer when we came to Corvallis. We would pray, God, we'll go to oceans, desert, mountains, rivers, rain, snow. We don't care. We don't care. We just want to go where you're doing a work. And God honored that prayer. But somewhere along the line there, I made a deal with God that I'm going to follow you with all of my heart. And the deal is you're going to protect me. You're going to take good care of me. You're going to bless me. I know I heard that a lot of times as God was drawing me. God blesses you. You're going to bless my life. And you know, the day came about 15 years ago or so, and we began to get information up at OHSU that one of our children had some genetic problems. And that was a really, really hard time for Susie and I. We cried all the way back down the 5 freeway, and it has become probably one of the greater, if not the greatest, trial of my life. Just, you know, you love your kids. And around that time, we were up in the San Juan Islands on a bike trip. And we were biking all through the San Juan Islands. And it was late one night. And Susie and I were in the tent. And Susie was asleep. And I couldn't sleep. And I was up just talking to the Lord. And, you know, I was just telling the Lord, I'm angry at you. I'm really angry at you, you know? Here I am following you with all my heart. I give up everything. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I serve you. I live for you. And it just to be honest, God, just to be real, doesn't seem like you're doing that great of a job, like keeping your end of the bargain, keeping your end of the deal. And you know, I've always believed that God wants us to just be real with him. Not these little fake, oh, great art thou, master of all. You know, he wants you to be real with him. And I don't understand it. It's just, I'm doing my part. You're not doing your part. How could you let this happen to us? And you know, the Lord spoke to me so clearly, like I'll never forget in that tent. And he says, Rob, that's not the deal I made with you. That's the deal you made with me. The deal I made with you was you're going to serve me. You're going to love me because I loved you first. You're going to respond to me. You're going to worship me. You're going to praise me. And I'm going to do what's best from my vantage point for your good and for my kingdom and for my glory. That's the deal. And it was like, oh, wow. I've had the wrong deal. All this time I had the wrong deal. I didn't even know I made the wrong deal. God's never promised to keep me from going hard through with hard things if it's best for me, if it's best for his kingdom, if it's best for his glory. I mean, read the Bible. Can you even name a story in the Bible where the people don't suffer? You can't go through one book where God's not working through suffering, right? Oh, I wish that wasn't true, you know? Like, well, around that same time, you know, have you ever gone through hardship where you just think, like, Lord, you're giving me more than I can handle here. And you memorize God's word where 1 Corinthians 10 says, God won't give us more than we can handle. 1 Corinthians 10:31, you're able to pull that up to sustain you. You'll always give me the way to be able to endure under it. And maybe you're someone that, it's just coming at you from multiple directions and you're not sure if you can stand up anymore. And about that time, the Lord blessed Calvary Corvallis with 50 acres of property, 55 acres of property, overlooking a Corvallis in this beautiful amphitheater with 200-year-old oak trees. I know a lot of the men, you guys have been there. And almost from the minute we signed the papers, my voice started to fail. To the point where I could barely, for 9 years, I could barely give a message this long. And after the end of the message, I'd almost have to scurry out. Many staff meetings, I'd come and the staff would just pray for me. I'd just be in tears. Like, couldn't even be I'd rest all day Monday and Tuesday just to make it back to Wednesday and Thursday to try to work. And I'd be at a staff meeting after a couple appointments and I'd just be in tears. I can't, just the whole staff praying for me. I can't talk. I'm in pain. And I had a polyp that had to be removed, and I was so blessed to get, by great glory, to Paul McCartney's doctor down in UCLA. He removed it. He said, you're going to be fine. I wasn't fine. It continued for 9 years of just tremendous voice struggle, suffering. I mean, just pushed to the brink of, like, how can I do this, Lord? How can I be a pastor when you can't talk? I mean, I'm going to have to step away. I can't go on. And isn't it amazing, you know, the last 3 years I've been experiencing some real relief, and I'm so thankful to come through that almost 10-year trial. But, you know, now as I look back at that the depth that God has created, you know, during those 10 years, you know what I was forced to have to do? Raise up others. I can't do it. I can't do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. You know how many elders Calvary Corvallis has? 29 elders. I mean, they're not enough. I need 50. You say, really? This year we had the largest week of prayer and fasting we've ever had. We had over 500 people come every night to prayer and fasting, and I need an elder in every one of those circles. We only had 29. I'm like, oh, Lord, I see why you want so many leaders. We got a lot of people to lead. And you know, God, I just look back, God, you're so faithful. And I look at, like, if it were possible to diagram the whole spectrum of suffering, right? I mean, in reality, right, what some people are suffering, like, I mean, in reality, my portion is, you know, just this little sliver of suffering, really, right? Like, you ever see human suffering and you just go, oh, my gosh, like, those people trapped in that time, trapped in that war, raped, children brutalized. I mean, things people are going through, right? But having just suffered just a little bit, that little pie, somehow it's, God's so wise, somehow it's made me sensitive to the whole spectrum of suffering. You know, someone that is suffering, you're just you're just alerted that they're there, their child, the wheelchair, the problems at school, they can't have kids, you know, the hardship they're facing, and you see them getting hit from multiple sides, and you just feel such compassion for people. Isn't God so wise? You know, if we wouldn't suffer, we would never have the compassion to meet other people with. He's so wise. You know, even recently, as Susie and I have processed all this, you know, the last 13 years, I've been dad at home with my kids. At all their games, all their things in life, everything I've been at, hanging on. But I look back and you know what? Had I not had vocal problems, my personality is I would have just been everywhere, all the time. And it brings Susie and I to tears now to just go, oh, Lord, you're so wise. I am so thankful for those hardships that kept me, that my kids respect me. They love me. I've been there. And I know I could have messed that up. You know, God is so wise. We were talking with Chris and Sarah, and I was just sharing with them that Susie and I have been there now to almost 25 years. And because of the suffering, it's almost like the more I've suffered, the more kind our church has been to me. It's hard for pastors. You got all these little people problems and all these little opinions and all the little backbiting and everybody on the Monday morning quarterback and all the stuff that goes on. And you know what? I quoted a quote a long time ago. You can quote me on it. It says, it's easier to be critical of someone leading than to be the person leading. It's real easy to be critical when you're not the one that was up all night, you couldn't sleep, you were under so much pressure all week being beat in all directions, and you had to stand up and do what was being done. But, you know, the more that I've suffered, the more compassionate, the kinder. It's been almost remarkable. It's just, at times, has moved me even to tears. God, you're so wise. To the only wise God. Well, Proverbs 3:6 says, as we read the verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. You're right? Truly, to acknowledge him means you want to truly know him. In all your ways you want to know him is what acknowledge means, or be acquainted with him. Right? Everything you go through, it's an opportunity to know God. All these hardships, it's an opportunity to know him in it. And so trust in the Lord and lean not, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and all your ways truly get to know him. And you know, when you're going through all kinds of hard things, there's a couple of foundational truths I've found through my lifetime. Maybe you've found them too, that I call them foundational truths that I fall back on. And maybe you found these same foundational truths. And one of the foundational truths is that God is good. Have you learned that? And the reason I call it a foundational truth is because, you know, sometimes you face things that it seems like God isn't good. And if you're coming to the conclusion that God isn't good, you've come to the wrong conclusion. Because that's foundational to who God is. Exodus says he's abounding in goodness. Right? The Psalms say, Psalm 73, truly the Lord is good. That's the truth. And the Psalms say in Psalm 119:68 that God is good and he only does good. So if someone or something or some circumstance is causing you to conclude, you know what? I don't think God is good. You've come to the wrong conclusion. It's in times like that, you've got to fall back on those stones, those foundations. Like, you know what? I don't know what's going on. I don't know how God's letting this happen, but I'm standing on that God is good. Another foundational truth is that, and we're just wrapping things up here, that we're at the last portion of the morning, but the other foundational stone is that God is love. Right? That's foundational. God's loved you with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31:3. Ephesians 2:4, he loves you with a great love. John 15:4, no greater love than the cross, right? A man would lay down his life for you. So when you're facing things that it seems like, you know what, I don't think God loves me. It doesn't seem like God loves me. In fact, I don't feel God's love. So he must not love me. That's the wrong conclusion, right? You've got, in those times when you're experiencing that, you've got to fall back on that foundational stone and say, hey, I don't know why this is happening, but I absolutely for certain know God loves me, and I absolutely for certain know that God's good. And you just build these foundation stones that you build your house on. Another one, and we could go on and on, but one last one is God is faithful. Man, is God faithful. Susie and I have a saying that I don't know if there's a week of our lives that goes by that we don't quote it to each other. God's past faithfulness demands my present trust in Him. God has been so faithful time after time. When I'm facing things that I don't understand, sometimes it's coming at me from all directions. I'm pushed back, but I land on His faithfulness. God's good. I won't give that up ever. God loves me. God, even when I'm being pressed, God, You're faithful. Look how many things You've taken me through. Why would I doubt You now? You should learn that quote. It's Pastor Chuck. It's my pastor. God's past faithfulness. We left Calvary Costa Mesa that's become a bulwark for our lives, that God's past faithfulness. Jeremiah said something like that, similar. He said, "Great is Thy faithfulness." And then there's a song in the early church in 2 Timothy that these are the words to one of the songs of the early church. Even when we're faithless, you know it. Even when we're faithless, God is faithful, right? Even when we're faithless. Have you ever lapsed in your faith? What do you mean? Have you ever lost faith? Have you ever got to a place where you go, I just don't know if I believe anymore, Lord. It just seems like You don't love me. It seems like You don't care. It just seems like You're not working. And you lose faith. Most of us, probably all of us, at one point or another will lapse in our faith and stop trusting the Lord for a season. And that's why that song is so powerful. Even when we're faithless, God is faithful. Look at this verse. It's one you probably know. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, you don't hear this on the television very often, by the way, when they're asking for money. This is like one of those verses they conveniently leave out. It doesn't go very well with their messages. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God. What? When I suffer according to the will of God, you mean sometimes it's God's will for me to suffer? Absolutely. There's things He can only accomplish in your life through suffering, or you'll remain shallow. I wish it weren't so. I wish our message was just health and wealth and prosperity. And your most healthy, wealthy, and prosperous year is ahead of you. But that's not what the Scriptures teach, right? Sometimes it's going to be God's will for us to suffer. And what do we do when we're suffering? We commit our souls to Him and doing good as to a faithful Creator. God, You're faithful. I'm not an accident. I'm not some random accident. You created me. And you know what? These circumstances aren't random. You're in control. Whether it's because of a fallen world we live in and it's happening to me, whether it's satanic and it's happening to me, or whether God's the origin of it, God's faithful. He can take even what Satan means for evil, right? We know that He can turn that for good. And so let me just as we're closing these thoughts, I'm 53 years old. I celebrated my birthday yesterday, 53. And let me tell you, at 53 years old, we can put it up. Thanks for not clapping. 53. God, I believe this more at this stage of my life than I've ever believed it up until now. I believe it with everything I know. I think I've read the Bible maybe close to 30 or 40 times now. I believe it at the core of my being that God never lets His people suffer needlessly. If you are suffering this morning, you're not suffering needlessly. If this year involves suffering for you, it's got a purpose. God always has a plan. Don't waste the pain. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Look at our very last verse and last phrase. In all your ways, get to know Him. Acknowledge Him. God, You're good in this. God, I love You. You love me. God, You're faithful. Can hardly stand, but I know You're faithful. And get to know Him, and He shall direct your paths. This is a promise. And notice it's past plural, because you're going to find yourself here a lot of times. There are going to be a lot of times in life that you don't know what to do, and you're just trusting him. Like, you know what? I wasn't trusting him before I came this morning. I was stressed out. But today, I'm going to go for a walk, and I'm just going to lean on you. I'm going to roll it all onto you. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to rely on you. I'm going to be confident in you. And he will show you the path. He'll show you your next step. He'll speak to you. This is the way. It's a wonderful prophecy. This is the way. Walk in it. So that's the message this morning. That's the text God put on my heart. Could we just stop there and could we just set things aside? Could you just set your Bibles aside, set your notepads aside? Set everything aside, would you? If you got anything in your hands, just purse, anything else, just put it off to the chair next to you. And just want you to sit before the Lord for a minute this morning. And I just want to ask you, just could you bow your heads and just want to ask you. I just want to know. And just turn that light back up. I was going to have you turn it off in a minute, but turn it on just for this part of it. Then I'll have you turn it back off for worship because I want to see. Just keep your heads bowed. But if you're suffering, could you do that? Can you turn the lights back on for a minute, or you can't turn them on? Well, hey, we got time. We got 10 minutes, you know. No hurry. That's okay. My pupils are adjusting. Close your eyes. Yeah. Come out of the light. I don't know if that's the Lord. Man. Just would you do that? Would you bow your heads just for a minute? Because I want to be able to just know what's going on. I want to pray. Just close your eyes. Bow your head. I want to ask you, are you suffering this morning? And if you are, could you lift your hand up? Just lift it up and hold it up. I just want to get a pulse for what's going on. And Chris and Sarah, you guys have your eyes open. I want you to see. Could you just hold your hand up? Hold your hand up and keep it up. Now I'm asking you if you're suffering. If you are, your hand should be up. It shouldn't be like, oh, I have a hard time. Just, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Lord, I just pray for these this morning, that this is a time of suffering that they're going through. And Lord, I just, my heart just cries out for them. I don't know what the suffering is, but Lord, I pray they leave here with just a solid, solid foundation that you're good. A solid stone under their foot that you love them. And just a deep knowledge that you're faithful to them in this, Lord. And as much as I wish my brothers and sisters here weren't suffering, Lord, I pray for every person that is suffering right now. Would you just pour out the oil of the Holy Spirit on them? Would you pour out comfort on them this morning, Lord, that you care about them, that they're not suffering needlessly, and that you're creating depth, you're creating perseverance, you're creating character. You're teaching them to hope in you. And just while heads are still bowed, I just want two more things I want to ask. If you're somebody that you've been away from the Lord and you've made a mess of things, you've kind of lapsed in your faith, lost your faith, gone back to the old life, gone back to things that are, you're messing your life up, you're acting evil. It's evil what you're doing. It's wrong what you're doing. Somehow you never thought you'd be here, but you're here, and the Lord is just touching you that from right where you're at, you're going to seek God today with all your heart and turn back to him. It's in your heart to turn back to him with all your heart. And the New Testament talks about how God's going to run to you and embrace you and hold you close and restore you. Anyone in that situation, could you just hold your hand up all the way high? Just hold it up and just say, Pastor Rob, that's me. I've just been away. Hold it up and just keep it up. I just want to know to pray for you. Yep. And you could just talk to the Lord as you hold your hand up. Just let him know, Lord, you know. You see, anyone else? You've just been away. You've lapsed in your faith. The way you've been acting, you're convicted. You know it's not right. And I'm going to pray for you. Lord, just thank you for that type of humility. that you're opposed to the proud, you give grace to the humble. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing this morning. Would you let this be a morning of just turning back to you with all their hearts this morning? And you pray that. You raise your hand, you pray that. Say, Lord, I want to turn back to you with all my heart and start following you and start living for you and start serving you. And just whatever you need to pray, you raise your hand, you pray right now. Just, Lord, forgive me. David sinned, and it says the second he confessed it to the Lord forgave him. That second, you just confess it to him. Whatever came to your mind, something you've done, something someone you've been with, some behavior, just confess it and say, Lord, you see it. And I'm not pretending that's not there. I know it's wrong, and I turn from it today. And I'm asking you to cleanse me. And then last of all, And I'm going to have you open your eyes for just a minute, and I'm going to put that verse up that we end with. Here's that verse we were talking about earlier. And I want to ask you, have you been saved? Really? Like I want you to search. Has God given you a new heart? People sit in church every week that still have an old, stony, rock-hard heart, stubborn. Does that describe you, or does the latter describe you, that he's given you a tender and responsive heart? I want to ask you, would you again just bow your heads as we've looked at that scripture, and would you, I just am asking you, is that you today, that you're someone here asking God to take out the stony, hard heart and give you a tender, responsive heart? Because I'd love to pray with you. If that's you, why don't you lift up your hand and say, Pastor Rob, that is me. I have had such a hard, yep, just hold it up and keep it up. I've had such a hard, stony heart. I have been so hard. And just raise your hand up, hold it up, and just say, Lord, just say, take that stony hard heart out of me and give me a tender, responsive heart. Just pray that right from where you're sitting. Just say, Lord, I want to leave here tender and responsive to you. And let him know I surrender my life to you today, to follow you, to live for you. Tell him that. Tell him that. Say, I surrender all of my life to you, my heart to you this morning. And ask him, say, Lord, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit to have the power to start living for you? In Jesus' name, amen. All right. What a joy to be with you guys. I think we still, are you wanting to respond in a little bit of worship? Yeah, so now we can pull those lights off, and we'll just let Chris come back up. Chris, we can just have the worship team. You guys can close the morning. Why don't we stand up?
It's a great word from Rob. There's lots of things the Lord was ministering to me in that, and it would be a shame to just kind of run out of here and not give the Lord an opportunity to kind of meet us even further. We're going to do one last song with the worship team, and we'll have people around the room available to pray with. And I'd encourage you guys, you know, one of the benefits of being a part of God's family is that you don't have to go through this life alone, because you have the Lord with you, most importantly, but he's tangibly given you brothers and sisters in Christ to, like, go through actual life with. I mean, it's even more than blood family, because you guys are spending eternity together. And so we're to bear each other's burdens. We're to weep with those who weep. We're to rejoice with those who rejoice. And sometimes, if you're anything like me, I can be prideful and, like, not want to let people know, like, I'm hurting. And the Lord would say, no, don't do that. Like, that act of humility of just acknowledging it to your brothers and sisters helps you even acknowledge it to him, just being realistic. Because here's the thing, if you haven't realized it, we're all going through hard stuff. And if you're not right now, you're going to. We all struggle with sin. If you're not right now, you're going to. That's why God tells us about these things in his word. And when you go and you open up to other brothers and you find out, like, oh yeah, I understand that, I get that, there's something that happens there. It allows the Lord to work. It allows you to be encouraged. It allows you to be built up. It allows you to have comfort. It allows you to be reminded of those promises God's given you and the reality. So I'd encourage you, if that's you, if you're like, man, I need to not only talk to the Lord about this, I want to bear this with someone else. We've got people all around the room to bear it with you. So don't feel like you have to carry that around yourself. Maybe that's what you need to do to help let it go and really give it to God. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for so many great reminders today. Lord, we truly can trust in you. You have been nothing but faithful in our lives. And Lord, we don't know why, just in our flesh, sometimes it's hard to really give you stuff. But you say in your word, cast your cares to me because you care for us. And we want to do that. And just because it doesn't take the first time, we want to keep bringing them to you till it does, Lord. And I pray that if people came here today in this place and they were carrying stuff like weights that was dragging them around, holding them down, slowing them down, just heavy on their shoulders, that they could truly just give it to you, knowing, just like Rob pointed out, that you love them, that you've been nothing but faithful, you'll continue to be faithful, that they can trust you, and that you'll be good in however you answer. Doesn't mean it'll work out the way we think's best, but you know better than we do, Lord, because you know all things, and you're perfect in all your ways. I pray for those that came in here, Lord, not knowing you, or like with a hard heart, just not enjoying the relationship that you intend to have with them as your children, Lord. Man, they would leave here just filled with your Spirit, talking with their Father, involving you in every aspect of their life, and enjoying the love that you have for them, Lord. Meet us in this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.